Our scripture reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. And our sermon today is entitled Cultural and Religious Challenges, Legalism. This is the Lord's word. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh. May the Lord bless us in the reading of his holy word. As we continue our series in Paul's letter to Colossians, we remember that Paul himself reminds the people of God of the preeminence or the supremacy of Christ in all things. When we say here in this church, and when we say to one another that Jesus truly is the answer to all things, it is not simply a little bumper sticker saying that we have. It is not simply a saying that we just throw around. But to say that Jesus is the answer, to Jesus is the reason for all things, that to all things be glory unto our Lord Jesus Christ, this is true fact of who our Christ is. This is truth about who we worship. This is truth about where our hearts are oriented towards. And we know that one day when Jesus Christ returns, he will show in fullness that all things belong to him and him alone. This fact in itself should give the believer, you and I, a sense of peace, a sense of being grounded. For we know that in Jesus Christ, you and I cannot be moved. We know that there is no power on earth, in heaven, or below the earth that can usurp the power of Christ himself. And you and I know that one day we will reign with him in heaven forever and ever. And all the things that we wish upon Jesus for his glory to come will be seen here amongst us. And you and I, as we gaze upon his glory, and as we gaze upon each other, gazing upon Jesus himself, will be filled with a joy that is inexpressible. Jesus truly is the only one worthy of all praise and all honor. Now we know, as people who live on this earth, and Paul understands this about the church in Colossae as well, that we are not made perfect yet, that the old man or the old person still lives within us, battling to say, hey, you belong to this world still. We know in our minds, in our brains, and we know through Scripture, we belong to Christ. But our hearts are pulled by the temptations of this world. We cannot understand it at times. And there are times that we know that we willingly follow what the evil one says to us. You need more money. You need more time. You do not need to forgive. You do not need to stop by the stranger. You need to only take care of yourself. And so Paul wants to say to you and to us in a loving manner that Jesus is supreme, but there are things in this life that you and I still have to wrestle with. And to know that even Jesus himself is the source of all power to help us to get from point A to point B. Even so, we ourselves need to be aware and say, Lord, help me to walk away from these things and help me to walk towards you. Help me not to live my life as if my life belonged to this world. And help me to live my life as I belong to you. We see in this passage that Paul warns against the philosophies and the religions and the self-help gurus of the day. In this passage, Paul sort of mixes them all together. And last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus says to us, beware of the elemental principles or the elemental spirits of the world. In other words, those teachings that we see about us or around us that have an appearance of wisdom, that look as if they can give us life, that look as if they can take us from point A to point B in fulfillment. But these things that have appearance of wisdom, Paul says, has no value at all. That in the end, they will disappoint. In the end, they are self-centered. And in the end, they take you away from Christ himself. We saw last week that, you know, if we go through our YouTube shorts, our Facebook shorts, we're looking for shortcuts of how to make more money, shortcuts of how to lose those extra 10 pounds, or shortcuts just how to have a fulfilling life, our eyes and our hearts are drawn to it. Any explanation of how we can be better in this life. And in the short term, it looks very, very enticing. Last week, I talked a little bit about the Myers-Briggs and how personality tests and personality exams have become very much a part of our culture today. That we will ask each other, what's your MBTI? We'll ask each other, you know, what is your horoscope? We'll ask each other, if you're Korean, what is your blood type? And for some reason, this has some saying of who we are. But these things that have an appearance of wisdom have no value at all. What it actually does is what? It makes you focus on yourself. It makes you focus on the creation instead of the creator. It makes you think that you can't change and you can change in Christ. It makes you think the other person can't change. They can change in Christ. And it makes you lazy in loving people as God has told us to love people. Oh, you're INFJ? I guess this is who you are now. You are a person made in God's image, saved by Christ. You are more complex than four letters. The wisdom that we have comes through Christ himself. Today, what I would like to talk about briefly is the other part of the appearance of wisdom. Last week, it might have been just the philosophies of this day. Today, I want to talk about what we call legalism, or about religion itself. You see, during this time when Jesus had come and when Jesus was preaching the gospel, during this time when he died and he rose again, and then the Spirit came down and the word of God spread through all of the apostles. In the first 20, 25 years from Jesus' ministry to the time of the Holy Spirit, it was an exciting time. People were coming to the Lord left and right. People were confessing the name of Jesus and repenting left and right unto the Lord. But there was an issue that arose. Think about this. Ever since the beginning of time, from the Abrahamic covenant until Jesus came, the people of God understood God simply within those covenant parameters. They understood that they needed to be circumcised in order to belong to the people of God. They understood that they had to bring their sacrifices to the temple of God in order for forgiveness to be poured out upon them. They understood that there would be a king of David who would rule over them. And this was a normal part of being the life of a Jewish person. We need to be part of his covenant. All the men, all the boys, you need to be circumcised as a sign of God's promises to you. We need to go and sacrifice at the temple. We need to keep all the festivals, all the different types of sacrifices we needed to bring to the Lord, because this was a part of what it meant to worship God and to serve God. And so this idea of what it meant to be Jewish or what it meant to be a religious person was part of the identity of God's people. And then when Jesus came, all of a sudden, things switched, things changed. And the question in that change is very simple. What is it that we keep, and what is it that Jesus has fulfilled, or that Jesus has changed, or Jesus has transformed? It's not like it's not like the God of the Jews himself was over here, God himself, and all of a sudden said, let's throw this all away, and here's Jesus, and we're going to start something completely new. There's something that was continuous that happened between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, and the people, they were wrestling with it. So remember, when Paul would go to preach the gospel in these cities, he would always go to the synagogues first. He would always go to the Jewish people, because they were the ones who had the promises of God. They were the ones who the Old Testament should have understood and knew that a Messiah would be coming. And as he would go to them, many became Christians. But many of them still wondered, what do I do with my old identity? I'm a Jewish Christian. What do I do with my old identity? And so there arose a group called the Judaizers. These Judaizers basically said that, okay, you believe in Jesus, you're a Christian now. But in order for you to be fully a part of the people of God, you have to understand that Jesus, as the God of the new covenant, is still connected with Yahweh, the God of the old covenant. And so in order for you to experience the fullness of what God has done, you need to be circumcised as well. You need to keep all the festivals that we have in the Old Testament. You need to keep beating your body up in order to show that you belong to the Lord himself. And so this became a point of contention between Paul and the Christians of the day. Do you need to become a Jewish person and to become a Christian? Or even more so than that, after you become a Christian, you need to keep these Jewish laws in order to maintain your status as someone who belongs to God himself. And Paul says resoundingly, no. You do not need to become Jewish first in order to become a Christian. And he says, no. After you become a Christian, you do not need to keep these laws to maintain your status before the Lord himself. That the only thing that matters is that your heart has been circumcised, not by the hands of men, but that your heart has been circumcised by Christ himself. That the new covenant has come to give you the new heart that you so long for, so that you could worship God and serve God well. You see, there's this overlap between historically what is happening in, with God and the covenants itself, and an overlap in terms of what happens to us as individual people as well. Right? God working in history overlaps with how God works in you as individuals. For you as God's people, for us as God's people, our ability to follow the law is impossible. Even though all of us long to follow some sort of rule, some sort of regulation, some sort of law, we know that we fail to do so in all things. The purpose of the Old Testament and Old Testament laws was to show that the people of Israel cannot keep them. The purpose of the laws for you and I is the same thing, is that we cannot keep them. We cannot love the Lord our God with all our heart, souls, and minds. We cannot love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We cannot let our eyes stray from coveting the things that other people have. Try as we may, we see that in our depravity, we are unable to do any of these things. Now, our defense mechanism is simply to do a couple of things. One is just to give up completely and say, you know what? I don't want to live this religious life. It's just too hard. Or number two, you just lower your standards, right? It's okay for me to do X, Y, and Z and belong to the Lord. But God says all these things in the Old Testament, all these things about the covenant, all these things about what I require and sacrifice, my son Jesus will complete all of those things. And he has. Jesus is the only one who fulfilled the law, who kept the Ten Commandments. Jesus himself was the one who sacrificed himself as both the sacrifice and the offerer of the sacrifice itself. Jesus is the only one who, as a king, can rule over us in a loving, truthful manner. It is Jesus himself who has fulfilled all of that for you and for me. And because of that, you and I who belong to Jesus, the promises of the old covenant have been fulfilled. What it says here, what used to be the circumcision of the flesh, has become now baptism for you and I. The symbol that we had died with Christ and that we have now been raised with him. A symbol that in this new reality, that there's nothing, there is no law, no regulation that can separate you from God himself. And this truth and this joy is what helps us as believers, what teaches us as believers to live by faith and faith alone. And so when the Judaizers, or when we ourselves, say that we need to follow any type of regulation, any type of rule, any type of law to maintain a relationship with Jesus, or to follow any type of law in order to have the prerequisites fulfilled to come to know Jesus, those type of things are an anathema to God himself. Because what you are saying, what we are saying when we say that is that Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' resurrection, what we are saying is that it's not enough. You're saying to God, it is not enough. Anytime you add any type of regulation, any type of rule. And I dare any of you to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, your sacrifice, well, thank you, but it's just missing a couple of things. You know, I think people need to, you know, read the Bible at least, the whole thing at least twice a year. And then, you know, that should be even better than just your sacrifice. But God says to us, Jesus' death and life is sufficient for all things. We as God's people should not put rules or regulations to anyone and anyone in order for them to feel like they belong to the people of God. And so things like church attendance, reading the Bible, even prayer, any spiritual discipline you can think of, is not necessary in order to come to Christ. Let me say that again. There's nothing that you can do religiously for God that'll make him love you more, that can make you more qualified for the love of Jesus. There's nothing. Our religious rule keeping can never make Jesus love us more. This is hard for us as God's people to understand, right? It is so difficult for us to love and to be loved without receiving anything or without feeling like we're giving anything. It is one of the most difficult human things for us to do. When you're in a relationship with someone, you give, and you say, I'm doing this because I love this person. Every once in a while, you're like, just do something for me. Just help me out. It is so hard to do. When we serve God and we say, God, I'm doing all this stuff for you out of thankfulness and love for you. It is so hard for the human heart not to say, can you do me a little favor, God? I've done all this for you. But God in his graciousness has showed us that we ourselves can never keep the law. But Jesus has, and because of that, we are able to receive his grace and his mercy fully. So, brothers and sisters, when you look around you, see people who are broken just as you are. See people who are lawbreakers just as you are. And see people who have been loved by God's grace and mercy just as you have been. Now, where does Bible study come along? Where does coming to church on Sunday and prayer and these spiritual disciplines? We need to do all of those. And we will always do it with a mixture of love and law keeping. But that part of you that is that law keeper, that legalist side in you, when you do come to church on Sunday, when you do pray to him, when you do have Bible study, you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know this old self still lives in me, but this new self tells me that even as I do this, knowing that my heart is not pure, but as I do this by faith, you will hear me, you will listen to me, and you will grow me in grace. That is why we're here to worship together. Now, today we had a lot of kids today, and I'm trying my best. And I praise the Lord for what he's doing in our church, as always, right? And as I look around you, again, I don't know what you did the last 6 days. I don't know how much you're hearing or listening. I don't know what's going on in your hearts. I don't know, but I do know this. That God is still working in you. That God is still changing you. That God is still drawing you to himself. And that is why we worship God together. We thank you, Lord, for our children. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, our parents. We thank you, Lord, for the daily reminder, and a special reminder as we worship together, that our God is good. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy in all things. And we ask of you, Lord, once again, be gracious to us as your children. Father, we are law keepers and we are law breakers. We are people who demand that other people follow our laws and regulations. And we are people, Lord, who fail to even follow those as well. But we know that in Christ Jesus, that we have been made whole, that there is no law or regulation that disqualifies us from being your son and your daughter. So help us, Lord Jesus, to receive you by grace and to love and serve you by that same grace as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.